It's very effective, isn't it? To get you going. So, my dear devotees, today, in this session, we will deal with determination and death. In Europe and in America as well, America is a little young in comparison to civilization. It came later. There was a practice called mortem memoris. Live your life while thinking of your mortal end, while thinking of death. And philosophers would often have things on their writing table which reminded them of their inevitable departure of this world. They would have skulls, they would have paintings where their own picture was seen, and just behind them the face and the hand of the bony man, bony in the sense of death, who's all bones, and they would remind themselves that this is not all what we now experience, and we will leave from here for another dimension, for another life. They did this not out of any morbid fascination, like these new cults. They're called in Europe the grufties, you know, a gruft or crypta, a place where dead people would live. No, they did this in order to live their lives more fully, in the sense of using their time, their allotted time and their limited time, to the maximum benefit. Gandhi is often quoted as saying, "Life and death are like two boxes. Each one of them contains the key to open the other one." In other words, if you know that you are dying and you go deep into this subject, you will find in this box, this subject matter, this content, a key which helps you to open the box of, thank you, this is so bad, the box of life, so that you can live in a more fulfilling and satisfying way. The same is with someone who lives properly. If he opens the box of life, he will find in it invariably a key which helps him to deal maturely with his own death. In the old civilizations, which had a little bit more sense of reality than the new ones in which we are living, it was natural to look at death, which is, after all, the most surest and predictable thing which can happen in our lives. From this, a sense of reality and a sense of, let me use the time which I have wisely, would invariably come forward. This is not just a technique of the old civilizations, the medieval civilizations, but we find things like this often in all in ancient Vedic literature, or let us say wisdom literature of the East. It spread all over. Srila Prabhupada would often quote Chanakya Pandit, as you well know, who said, keep death in front of your eyes. One should live like this. Yes, I have time now. Let me use it wisely. And he would tell us this story, which is very widespread. You find it actually in all cultures. It also, I think it originated in the Vedic and Eastern culture, that there is this saint who is capable of delivering blessings, and a prince comes to him and asks for a blessing, and the saint says, may you never die. The next one who comes for blessing is a hunter, and the saint enigmatically tells him, may you never live. It's best you were not never here. Then comes a brahmachari, a monist, who thinks this life is an illusion. And the saint blesses him and tells him, may you die immediately. And then comes a devotee of Krishna, a devotee of God, a lover of God, who asked him, can you bless me? The saint says, yes. Death or life is all the same because you are a lover of God. The Prabhupada would explain this enigmatic type of blessing, and he said, the prince is only after sense enjoyment, and while doing it, he accumulates also karmic reactions. Whatever you take, you have to give back. So, may you only live now. May it never end, because afterwards you will have to pay your dues. The hunter is a killer. He has such bad karma that both his life is terrible and what awaits him after this life is equally or even more terrible. So the saint says, best you were not even there. Then comes the brahmachari, who thinks this is all illusion, the real thing is somewhere else, when I become one with Brahman. And the saint tells him, may your desire be fulfilled immediately, may you die. And then comes the lover of God, the devotee, who serves now Krishna and is now, that is in the present, with Krishna, and he is afterwards with Krishna after his life. So may you neither for you it's the blessing is for you, you can live or die, it's all the same. You do now what you will do later. You are now in bliss and you are later also in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. These are words when Prabhupada was very ill during his last pastimes on this earth in Vrindavan, he would turn to his disciples and he would say, don't think this will not happen to you. It's awaiting you also. So what I want to do now with you is, I want to bring you to your own physical death and beyond. What is happening in the beyond, you will experience, each one of you, in his or her own way. I cannot tell you now, because it's entirely your journey and your discovery which you will make. It is an intense session. For those of you who are weak in mind, if you find that your mind gets into an unhealthy sloop and can't get out, Get out of the meditation and just take part in it as a neutral observer. I request you can leave the train if it goes in terrains which are not pleasing for you. Don't worry, it's psychologically absolutely safe and extremely positive, but I'm just saying this. The last time we did it, one devotee was sitting on a rock afterwards, and we were passing by, the devotee was crying, and I was inquiring, what's the matter? The devotee said, "You just had us dying. I need to live my life, compose my life new now." And so, this time we will help you to compose it immediately, don't worry. Another thing I need to say before we can start. Do you all know what is snow? I'm not sure, because some of you are from Florida. It's very important during this meditation. You know theoretically. Who knows only by theory? And has any one of you ever been in snow when it comes falling down? Who has never been in snow when it comes falling down? Let us ask like this. You are from which country, Prabhu? Wonderful. I was also in Israel. So, you have never seen snow? Not falling down. You have seen in the movies? I mean, we don't see movies, yes. I know. You never saw it falling. Any one of you who never saw snow falling? Our devotees from South Africa. Not in the Dragon's Mountain? Maybe not. Maybe not. Have you seen on movies or in a picture? Good. It comes falling down. It spreads a white, white, white carpet about reality. Almost like a bed sheet which covers everything, so everything looks different. That's snow, the image of snow. Yes? It's important for you to know. Yes, another thing you need to know. Yes, please go wide awake into this experience, because if you do so, you will be able to make tremendous discoveries. You look for a state of consciousness which is calm but incredibly aware. That's very important. When you say in the Hare Krishna movement, close your eyes, they only know of one modus operandi, that is the one which we do after prasadam, or when we go to bed, sleeping. No. Why a closing eyes can mean to go into an interior realm which we don't see. For a meditation, sometimes saints close their eyes half. They do this not to go asleep, but to go more awake than they usually are and go into the interior realm. Another thing is, before I start, I threw a lot of you. You will all notice it will come up. It's intentional what is happening now. A little while ago, I got a letter from Serbia. It was by the devotee Nanda Sutta and Satyabhama. Nanda Sutta and Satyabhama had gone into the mountains. They are a very nice and Krishna conscious Grihastha couple who study at the university and work and do tremendous preaching there in the university. And they needed a rest, so they walked a little in the fresh mountains, and while doing so they saw a fruit tree, and this was an unknown fruit, but they were from Beograd, a town in a metropolis in Serbia, and they ate from this fruit, and all of a sudden they felt dizzy, and first Nandasuta went out. He fell unconscious. Satyabhama could somehow bring him into the car and drive to the hospital, but when she arrived in the hospital, it was too late for her. She could not leave the car. They both were in the car, and fortunately the hospital staff, one member who had come out of a shift, saw in that car on the parking place two people who were asleep. So he came a little later, they were still asleep. He noted something is strange here and alarmed the emergency, and the emergency got them out of the car. They were fainted and they had a high degree of poisoning. These were poisonous fruits. Then the three most intense days came for Nandasuta. A struggle for dear life in the hospital, because it's not so easy to detoxify organs which have absorbed the toxins already to such a degree. And he said, he wrote me a letter and said, Sashinandan Swami, when I saw my own death standing on the threshold of my life, one thing was extremely clear to me. I have not used my life properly. And I pray to Krishna, if you let me return to full life and keep death standing at the threshold and later leaving, then I will give my whole life to you. Srila Prabhupada talks about this highly motivating nature of meeting one's death by saying, it's in the lecture in Vrindavan on 2nd of December, so this chanting of Hare Krishna is so important. Think of it. Death is coming. Death is at my door. Let me finish my chanting. Let me finish my chanting. Always you should think like that. That death is already coming. So let me chant. Let me chant. Here Prabhupada uses what we have discussed so far. The highly motivating nature of thinking about one's death. So don't enter this in an afraid way. By the way, death, there is no death. We are all eternal. So there's nothing to worry at all. It simply doesn't exist for the eternal soul. The body dies at every moment. Cells, in other words, go and never return to us. I can show you if you want. You see the dendrof? That's death. Dendrof, isn't it? Hare Krishna. So, please settle yourself in your chairs a little bit. Or if some of you feel that it would be preferable to go into a chair, please do so now. We will spend about 30 minutes sitting down. And I highly recommend for those who are not so happy in their normal life, sitting on the ground, to go. If some of you feel that there is some pressure in the bladder, this is a good time to relieve yourself of nature's call. I hope there will be enough. What? It will be, sorry, when we start, you mean? How long? Only 30 minutes. Maximum 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Oh my God, now everyone is out. We have to wait for... I should have said this earlier. But I can certainly do something with you in the time. This chanting of Krishna's holy name should be learned now, because if we know to chant properly, then at the time of death it will come very automatically and very nicely. It is best to learn the chanting in such a way that it is very, very deeply in our heart. I must tell you, I'm a little bit afraid with these japa retreats, but that they become a new fashion in ISKCON. And fashions are always short-lived. Devotees who approach something with the idea, this is something new, let me check it out, have one inherent problem. They have their old life there, which they live, and then they paint something new over their old life. I have an assistant who was a painter before he came to Krishna consciousness. Not for art, but for living, I should say. He painted wallpapers in old houses. And he told me, if you paint on the old wallpaper, it will look good for some time, but then the wallpaper will shrinkle and you will see a very bad wall. What you have to do is you have to remove the old wallpaper. So in ISKCON, or anywhere, if we just put on the same things which we have already, which we do already, always something new, hoping it will help us, the old thing which is underneath it will make itself known and influence what we try to do new. So therefore, we need, if we want to change really, we need to do what Mahatma Prabhu inspired us. We need to die to live, or we need to put the water from the one chalice. We need, or we need to take the content from the chalice out to make it free to receive something new. And we will do this now. We will empty you a little out of your old life. And the hope is that something new then, that is the chanting, can go in there and stay in there, and will not, the old habits won't come again. So, I think everyone is back. Please settle yourself. Very comfortable. It's the most pleasurable and comfortable exercise you have ever done. We will have some music for you. With your eyes closed, in other words, shut your eyes, a little softer the music, please. Think of letting go all your other concerns. We will do a few simple exercises from the ancient yoga tradition to help us go into a state of absolute calm and incredible awareness. Kindly lengthen your spine inwards and upwards towards the top of your head. Completely relax the rest of your body. your spine is tall and your body is relaxed. Begin to observe your breath. Notice your breath moving in and out. Like waves on the ocean. Turn your attention inside and be with your breath. It means to concentrate our attention on the breathing. For a few seconds, we are going to practice long and deep breathing. It's preferable that you breathe through your nostrils without any stress or effort. Just slow, deep inhalation and slow, deep exhalation. Watch your breathing. How does it feel like to be alive and breathe? It is Krishna as prana who enters you and circulates and gives health to your whole being and alertness. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, Krishna in the form of this breath, the life breath. Gradually notice how the length of the inhale and the length of the exhale become even. If you like, you can even silently count the length of each breath, so that if the inhale is, say, 3 counts, 1, 2, the exhale would also be 3 counts. 1, 2, 3. Don't rush yourself. Repeat this for several more rounds. Go a little bit inside of us. Open your inner ear, an ear which is there in your mind, and feel how the sound of the breath washes through your body, washes through your mind, soothing and healing. We will still go deeper now. Hear a little bit what is going on in the room. Hear the sound of the soft music. Hear also what is outside the room. Maybe some crickets. Yes, we are incredibly aware while our body is calm. Kindly now feel whatever touch is there on your skin, your shirts, or maybe the dress on your legs. Maybe there's a cold sensation in the hands. Watch your thoughts. If there is no thought at this moment, maybe remember what you had for dinner, or just think of what you would like to have for breakfast or lunch. Maybe pizza. And watch these thoughts as if you see something on a cinema screen. It's there, but you observe it. You can observe your thoughts. And you can observe your body. What discovery! You are not your thoughts, nor are you your body. You can feel they are distinct. What a discovery! You, the observer, are different. Now try to watch the Atma. Actually, you can only feel the Atma, the presence of yourself inside the body. Be all that presence. Your breath is still flowing silently, effortlessly. You're calm but incredibly aware. Keeping your eyes shut, we will now start with our inner eye to see certain seeds. They are very, very likely to come into our lives. See the inside of the temple room in which you are sitting. You might have looked at the ceiling, so you know what the ceiling is like. You know what the floor is like. There's the altar. Just be in the room. Now, go upwards. Leave this room, this building, and go into a scene which you might have seen in your childhood. A snow-covered landscape. Everything is covered with a nice carpet of white snow. Snowflakes are falling down. It's pleasant. You walk through the snowy landscape. You walk to explore the landscape. The snowfall becomes thicker. More snow falls. As you walk on, that scene disappears. And instead, a scene appears before you. It's 10 years before the time of your death. You're much older than now. Where are you in your life now? Pick any scenes which come to your mind. It's your old age. What is your environment? What are you doing in your life? Life for sure has become a little bit more peaceful than now. How is your health? What relationships are meaningful to you? Who is meaningful to you at this stage? Keep on breathing in a very smooth and relaxed way. Very important to breathe enough oxygen in life. Now move forward in time. It's 1 year before your death. Pick any scenes which come to your mind. Maybe it's the same scene. Look at your environment. your health. And the few relationships which are meaningful to you, maybe only one, maybe two, what do you need to say or do in your life to make your life more complete? Is there something left unsaid to someone? Is there something not done completely? You can do this now. You can go to someone and tell him what you wish to tell him or her. You can make the one or two more arrangements you feel you can do to make your life more complete. You have a little time to do it, but it is enough time. The time of your physical death is now arriving. It is a safe time. You are in a kind of bed, or wherever you're lying. There are few near and dear ones around you. You become more calm, everything becomes calm. You see a landscape, a wide landscape, snow is falling, white snow, the snow is becoming thicker. Go through this landscape. Now you sink into the snow. You lie in the snow and you feel how slowly the warmth in your body concentrates in your chest. You know you have to leave now. It's time for you to go, but it is such a safe time. Move out of your body. you're carried upwards. Underneath you, you see the snow-covered landscape. And in the snow, the falling snow, you see changing scenes. Look, there's your childhood. You are walking and running. How happy you are. It switches over to a scene of your youth. Look, there's you as a teenager. Pick any scene which comes to mind. And you grow up. Look, that's the time when you are in Krishna consciousness. What comes to mind? Which scene do you see? Slowly, the time comes where you go through your own death. And yes, you have died. You are out of your body, carried by a divine energy. You're surrounded with light. And you go higher and higher. You see planet Earth from up. There are the oceans and the continents. You are leaving not only your body, you're leaving your world. All of a sudden you hear a very soft voice. This voice speaks full of gentleness to you. It addresses you personally. It's not your time to go, this voice says. You still have time in your old life. You will be brought back. And as this voice so kindly speaks to you, you feel that it's good that you can return. You go towards your world, this planet Earth. You come closer. There's America, there is the mountain ridge, there's the Delphi, Temple of Wisdom, there is your body. Breathe very deeply in and out, and ask yourself a question, very important question, a life-altering question. What do you need to do to make your life complete? What do you need to do to make your life complete? You have an incredible chance. You have time. You have time in a human body. You have time. Time in a life which is so much blessed by wisdom, by knowledge. You have time where you can establish a relationship to Krishna in his most accessible form, the holy name. What do you need to do to make your life more complete? Kindly breathe in and out gently. And think about this question. What can you do to make your life more complete? We will read from Srila Prabhupada's lecture in Vrindavan, December 2nd, 1975. So this chanting of Hare Krishna is so important. You can think, death is coming, death is at my door, let me finish my chanting. Let me finish my chanting. Always you can think like that. That death will be coming, so let me chant now. Kindly, slowly, slowly take your hands and rub the palms of your hands, just very slowly. Put them on your eyes. Then remove them and look into the palms of your hand as if you are seeing them for the first time in your life. And slowly return to room awareness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare go! Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Kanaya Lala Radha Kanaya Lala Radhe. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Krishna, it was not easy to get you back. We had to scream and shout at the end. Good. Now, I would like to use the remaining 30 minutes or so to congratulate you for your journey. Well, I want to say something. I should say what I want to say at the end. I should now say, may I ask you to share a little bit? What came up? Was it? Did you see something? Was it possible for you to enter the experience? Is there something you would like to share with the group, or would you like to think about it first? We look for hands. Nityananda Prabhu.
I have studied neuro-linguistic programming, and in NLP they take us through a similar type of I went through three sessions, but in none of those three sessions was I moved by. I went through the session and I just thought, why is it not working on me? It's just not working. It's just, I went through the session, they asked the questions, but nothing connected. It's totally disconnect. And yet when I did this session, I thought to myself, it's going to be the same. It's not. It's going to be a disconnect again. It's not going to work. But it totally worked. All the scenes flashed like you were saying. They just flashed and flashed. And in the end, there's a word that came up that I saw was the key obstacle, and that key obstacle would be removed by chanting of the holy name, by developing a deep relationship. That word was awkward. That word just came up, awkward. And the only way that awkwardness to accomplish, like you were saying, that what do you need to do to accomplish the meaning of your life, the purpose of your life. What is it that you have to do to accomplish? The obstacle was going to be this word, awkward. And that awkwardness, to remove the, to fulfill the purpose of my life, would happen by the deepening of the relationship with the Holy Name. And also one other thing that happened which didn't surprise me, but actually it amazed me that the level at which it happened was the deep appreciation I felt for my spiritual master, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. I felt at one point you said something, think of the first time you came to Krishna consciousness. I felt like I had saved, I had been saved like never before by Him and of course all the devotees who actually helped me, including now the session that I'm going through, that everybody is helping me, saving me from a situation which is a deep hellish situation, and instead turning it around to the most brilliant, the best of all opportunities, which is actually to fall in love with the holy name and actually go back to full Krishna consciousness. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Nityananda Prabhu. I'm not sure, did I see a hand in the Mataji section? Yes, Mataji, I can't read your name. What is your good name, please?
Jayashree.
Yes, please speak, Jaya.
Thank you. At the end of the meditation.
More in the microphone, please.
At the end of the meditation, I was feeling really free. I went through the scenes of my life. In terms of the childhood, I was feeling some sadness, but then we went past that. And when we got to 10 years before and 1 year before, all I could see was my home temple in Hillsboro, and I could see the deities. And there's a new temple coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. So I couldn't see that yet. So they'll have a new temple and a new altar. But I could see the deities as they are now. And when it came to my deathbed, I knew it was me lying there. Couldn't see me. I didn't know which devotees. I knew that in my heart, I felt that my spiritual master had gone on before me. So I knew he wouldn't be there in that, like, standing. But when I was on my deathbed, he was there. He called me. He called me. And that was so wonderful. I just wanted to go. I just wanted to go. And Maharaj, I was actually very sad. I was back. but part of that.
Many say that.
But part of that was I couldn't see. I got off the planet in terms of visualizing the planet, leaving it. But I didn't know what or where or what form. All of that wasn't revealed. So I don't know. I don't know where or how or what form or whatever. I just know that's what I have left to do. When you said,
oh, wonderful that you said, I don't know because English is not my mother tongue. Did I understand you correctly that you say that there was something left to do here on this planet Earth and to come back to that?
Yes.
Yes.
So what's left is for me to serve Radha Golokananda, to continue my relationship with the Holy Name, and just to continue in that way.
Wonderful.
That's it. That's all I have to do.
How nice you say that's it. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Hi, Yashwa Prabhu, I saw you next.
Maharaj, it was quite interesting. Everything, I was moving, the visualizations were taking place. And so it was all natural and okay. Mm-hmm. And then it started with the point of...
Please bring your microphone more to me.
Those people that were very dear to me. And it's just a point of honesty, you know. There was only a few people, you know, that were very dear to me. Aside from that, because a lot of people that were dear to me have already moved on. So I've already visualized death for myself and told a couple of my friends, listen, you'll be there, you can be there, you take care of my body. I'm not into the whole fanfare. Externally, I like a lot of people, but when it gets down to the real essence of me, I like being alone. So then, as we moved on, and it was time to go, I was thinking of, you know, things that I hadn't done. And I was happy that it was real simple. It was all the things that I wanted to do for Prabhupada, completing different projects that I've started, and finishing the centers and things like that. And when it came time, and so I fought that, or, you know, you have to move the deities and get that place finished and, you know, do some other things. So it was good. And then when I left, and it was time to come back, that was the most interesting point, because there's not really much here, so much here for me that I thought that I was so attached to in the visualization. So when I came back, really my life was really more of a renunciant. I just was traveling around just doing service for Prabhupada like that. And it was the most interesting thing is that it was making me be honest with myself. Mm-hmm. I think that it showed me that I'm being lazy and holding back, that I really should be diving more to really get into the essence of service. Mm-hmm. You know, put it all out there for mm-hmm. Krishna now.
I would like to thank you very, very much. I'm watching a little bit the time. I know there's Sharanagata. You could maybe share with someone else later. I want to complete the session and tell you a little bit, first of all, what we did. And I think it's very important for you to know what this journey was. It was not just a harmless visualization, something interesting. No, the purpose of this was to detach you for a moment from your ordinary lives, which are so much occupying your minds and your lives, and to make you aware that you are an eternal soul, really. Someone who moves on, who's a guest in this life. Like Prabhupada always told us, at least this left a deep, deep impression in my younger days in Krishna consciousness, that he said, staying in this life is like staying in a hotel room. He had used also the example of a prison where you are for a short time, but I always preferred for my life the hotel analogy for some reason. And as you travel through and spend maybe a night in a hotel room, you should be very cautious with your time. Maybe there's something you need to prepare for the next day, where you see a person in the town in which you stay. Maybe you have to drive on, and therefore it's good if you don't look TV until then, past midnight, or read a book until past midnight, or anything, but or telephone with home until past midnight. You should sleep now. You need your energy for tomorrow, because you know you will not stay for a long time in the hotel room. For sure, you will not put a new tapestry in the hotel room or new furniture. You know, you have a limited time and you use it for the what is your business to do, what you have to do. Then you move on. So, in this exercise, we just made the time a little bit more relative, shrunk it together, a little brought you towards into the future of your life, whatever that is. You saw some imaginations about it. Doesn't have to be like that, what you saw. But the idea was just to move you ahead, then to move you out of the body, and then to look at your life and from that position and see what Hayashva discovered, and what also I saw all of you. I mean, the three whom I heard, Nityananda Prabhu was first, and Jayashri was next, and then Hayashva at the end. You all felt it's good to look for the essence. You know, you saw your spiritual master, your gratitude, how he had saved you. I think you spoke about a relationship to the holy name. Is that yes? I remember correctly. Our Mataji so sympathetically spoke also about the essence. You know, what is left to do in this life, and Hayashva is soon to be seen as in kindling a preaching revolution in America. Or I mean, I'm just saying it a little jokingly, but something of the essence came up to you. This is really what is the point of thinking of our death. It's a helpful meditation. It's something which connects us with the essence of our human life, our possibilities, our opportunities, our chances, which so often get left behind because we are busy with the 1,000 small things, the 1,000, no, not the 1,000, the 35,000 small thoughts. This is how many thoughts pass through your mind throughout a day, according to one psychological statistic. 35,000 small thoughts, usually always repetitions of the same. Or thoughts who go in the same thought pattern. I'm not good enough, I never make it, no one loves me, I'm misunderstood, la li la 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 la, and so on. Hare Krishna. So, no, you have a chance. You can become a lover of God. You can become a good chanter. You can concentrate yourself. Even if you are not in good health and you could levitate from hemorrhoids, no problem. It's only the body. You have a chance. You can chant. You have a tongue. You have attention. You have ears. You can learn the secret. You can make a relationship with Krishna now. Any minute you have is a wonderful opportunity. This is the idea which I would like to come out. Now, before I end, I want to say a personal thing. I try to make this meditation as soft as I possibly could, because devotees are soft hearts. And already a Mataji started to go and so on. And I told Arjuna, if she needs help, just shake her so that pour water over her, do something so that she doesn't melt down totally. It's only a little thought game. It's a mind game. It's not something so dramatic. Well, I was so much aware, oh my God, if this goes out of hand, and then my friend Giriraj Maharaj is there, then I don't want to disappoint him. He told me in the evening, this sounds really interesting, Maharaj, determination in death. I want that it is a nice experience for everyone. And I'm very thankful to all of you that you were so good. You should see me when I do this with the non-devotees. Bang, it's really, and because you need to move these hard-hearted people sometimes, and you need to just, I mean, you have to be very careful when you have an audience whom you put in a open state. That is why if you do such meditations, please first ask people who have done this often what to do and what not to do. See, when a person moves up like this, you are absolutely responsible to what happens there. Also, some of us are very complicated. We have some harmful things in us, some bad memories, and they can come up if you don't assess your audience and know what images you use. I used with you the snow images because snow and the whiteness is always emotionally connected with a soft and very calm departure from this body, a very positive and helpful and wonderful one. It's not something cruel or upsetting. Yes. So, Hare Krishna. Now, I have finished my session and I turn to our Mahatma Prabhu. Mahatma Prabhu, I don't know how long this is, but I would suggest, if it's all right, to chant just around, maybe. Or
we're supposed to end 20 minutes.
Oh, we are supposed to end 20 minutes ago. Please excuse me. I thought 9:30. Sometimes it's 9:30. Sometimes it's. Honestly, you please.
So, do you have an announcement to make, Chutu?